You may be seated. The sirens are for Richard Hooker. Today is the day we celebrate Richard Hooker's life and we remember him. And as I was telling some of you earlier before the service, in the event that Dan storms the podium, please protect me. He is the Richard Hooker man. I am just an underling. My first encounter with Richard Hooker was in a graduate seminar at Boston University, led by Sir Geoffrey Hill, a British poet and faculty member at Boston University. Recently, he was the occupant of Oxford's chair of poetry, a very serious poet. And his contribution to my education was his rigorous attention to language and its spiritual possibilities when treated with the reverence demanded if for serious communication. This is why he loved Hooker, because of his attention to language. It was Geoffrey Hill who, at the height of the Clinton scandals, and people were joking about Clinton's remark, "It depends on what the meaning of is, when he said to us one day in his gravelly voice, "People have died over the meaning of is. This is my body." Depends on what the meaning of is. Recently, in an interview with Geoffrey Hill in The Guardian, a novelist said about Hill, "Every phrase he uses has a sense that it was examined and sifted not only in the light of mere experience, but in the full light of knowledge and with the full realization of how dark, ambiguous, and misleading knowledge can be." He is a poet, it was written, who seeks to lift language beyond itself. And it's impossible for me to read Hooker and not hear Geoffrey Hill's voice reading from Ecclesiastical Polity. I'm taking the verse from John's Gospel, this verse. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." In The Church History of Britain, written in 1655, the author, whose last name is Fuller, commented on Hooker's preaching in the 1580s. This is his comment. "His voice was low, stature little, gesture none at all. Standing stone still in the pulpit, as if the posture of his body were the emblem of his mind, unmovable in his opinions. Where his eye was left fixed at the beginning, it was found fixed at the end of his sermon. In a word, the doctrine he delivered had nothing but itself to garnish it. The efficacy of the message, not the delivery of the messenger, was what was of central import to Hooker. Against the Puritans, he affirmed that the bare reading of Scripture was efficacious to the souls, and it didn't need to be flourished by the preacher's performance. In The Laws of Ecclesiastical Polity, A.S. McGrade describes Hooker's writing as the first major work in the fields of theology, philosophy, and political thought to be written in English. In its professed aim of resolving the consciences or enlisting the affections of those who could or would not accept the religious settlement of 1559, the laws can be read as a continuation of Hooker's earlier pastoral efforts. We think of him so much as a great writer and someone who led us in the middle way, but his biographers speak about his work as a pastor, his sermons as being focused on the pastoral needs of his communicants and not on the greater issues that face the church. On Hooker's style, C.S. Lewis has written that the early drafts of Hooker's work did not have the careful tone of his finished work. Sadly, you know, we won't get to see these in the future because our Word documents get rid of all the earlier drafts. But his earlier drafts, according to Lewis, were sharper, more sarcastic, and less tranquil. And then Lewis writes, "And this leads to a literary conclusion of some importance. The mellow gold of the polity is not merely the natural overflow of a mild eupeptic who has good reason to be pleased with the status quo. It is the work of prudence, of art, of moral virtue, and, as Hooker would have no doubt said, of grace. It is also an obedience to decorum." These are all important for me because we are engaged in a work of wordcraft, of finding the right words at the right time. It's such an important and heavy responsibility sometimes to be able to find that right word. And I'm grateful for those who have gone before us, who have written as eloquently as Hooker has, who has written, in my opinion, as eloquently as Jeffrey Hill has, that challenges us to think about the words that we use, because our words, as Jesus said, will be the words that will lead others to believe in him. And so, as we are engaged in this work of wordcraft for the advancement of God's message of grace to the world, I hope that today we will remember Richard Hooker and emulate his careful articulation of the gospel of Christ so that others might come to believe. Amen.